Exodus chapter 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot. He took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea, besides Pi-hahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we've told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea, and I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh, over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty, And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and then the waters returned, covered the chariots, the horsemen, all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Give your word, and as I preach today, Father, I'm asking every person here will leave here knowing that you have spoken to them. You have spoken to them. Father, I ask you apply this word to everyone's circumstances that they may know, they may have heard from you today, not a man, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you. You know, when God is so faithful, when I first started to go to Pakistan, is this weird today or is it just me? It's just me. God gave me a promise that he was sending me there and thousands would be saved. In fact, Pakistan would be taken for Christ. And he showed me, like, you know, lots of people coming and a nation being changed. But when I first went, you know, the first meeting I had, there was maybe 100, 200 people. We're expecting thousands. So many, so few came. But God is faithful. When he gives you a promise, if you stay with it, he is faithful. And now we hold a conference for pastors. We were told our ministry is now the most well-regarded of all the foreign ministries, and people come from 18 hours away. Pastors came to hear the word of God. And wherever we have a crusade, the ground is filled now. So God has done what he promised. And if he gives you a promise, sometimes you may look and say, I can't see it in the natural, I can't see it. But if you stay with God, you will see it. You will see it. Amen. This passage today, I want to preach to us today because the Old Testament, Paul tells us these are types of what has happened through Christ and types of what happens to us in Christ. And this is a passage where Israel, God's people, had been redeemed out of Egypt. And Egypt always represents the world. Egypt represents the world. Pharaohs represent Satan. And God's people had been redeemed, set free from Egypt. And the reason they'd been saved was on the basis of the blood of a lamb, which was put over the doorpost. And in this passage, you see these people who had been liberated and were walking into freedom and into all the things God had promised them, the promised land. And after a little while, Pharaoh decides that he wants them back. And what happens with God's people is that we get liberated. You may be liberated from drug addiction. You may be liberated from family problems. God may have set you free from disease or sickness or financial problems. And all of a sudden, you're liberated, but the enemy is now coming at you to bring you back into and under what you've been freed from. And so here's the enemy saying, I want these people, I want them back. I want to bring them back under what I've freed them from. I want to bring them back under what they think they got away from. And so he's coming, And it's interesting, you know, these people were walking with God. They got to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was an impassable mountain in front of them, or obstacle in front of them. And they're told that Pharaoh is coming. Now, Pharaoh's not only coming, he is coming with the most powerful army on earth, and he's coming with 600 chariots. And so they can hear this. And in the spirit, we can hear when the enemy says, I'm coming for you. In the spirit, we hear when the enemy says, I'm coming to destroy you. I'm coming to steal your freedom. I'm coming to destroy you with financial problems. I'm coming to destroy your marriage. I'm coming to destroy you with sickness. And we hear the footprints, the hoof prints, I should say, the hoof prints in the spirit. And when we hear that, Satan is coming to attack you. The effect is we often lose our peace. The effect is we often lose our peace. And they are hearing this, and we hear it in the spirit. And why the enemy comes at you is to steal your peace and to stop you moving into the better things and the promises that God has made to you. He wants you to forfeit where God has taken you, what God has promised you. And so here they are, these people, they have been freed, and they're hearing these chariots, and they're hearing the footprints of the horses, the hoof prints. And it says, when they heard it, that the enemy was coming. And sometimes you hear that, as I said, the enemy's coming to take the blessing off your marriage. He's going to come and destroy you financially. You're moving with God, but now all that's under attack. It says, when they heard the attack was on the way, it says, as Pharaoh drew near, he drew near and they heard those footprints. Israel lifted up their eyes, so they were very afraid. They were very afraid. Now, sometimes this has been preached, and I've heard it preached and say, because these people are afraid, the fear is the opposite of faith. They had no faith. But that is wrong, because these people did have faith. These people had left Egypt. These people had walked out with God into the unknown just on a promise. So these people had great faith. They were trusting God to provide for them through the world, knowing not where they're going. So these people were people of great faith. And the fact is, this is a fact, faith can exist alongside fear. Faith can exist alongside doubt. It is human when you're faced with, you know, a disease that could destroy you, or a financial thing where you think, we could just go under here. You know, my family could just go away. It's human to experience the emotions of fear. That is absolutely human. And the presence of fear does not mean the absence of faith. It doesn't mean the absence of faith. So here these people, they were people who had been walking and believing and trusting, and all of a sudden something emerges that threatens to bring them back, to destroy their lives. And as I said, that could be a sickness, that could be a financial issue. And you can hear in the spirit what the enemy is saying. You can hear it. I'm going to destroy you. You can hear it. I'm going to bring you back into bondage. And you know, you can be someone. Can we be honest here today and not just religious? You can be someone who has great faith, trusting God, believing His promise, yet be up at 2 a.m. worried. You're going through it because you've got issues. But you're still a person of great faith. the presence of temporary anxiety and the presence of temporary fear does not mean you are not someone who's trusting God and moving by faith. And here they are. They're these people here. They have moved by faith. And here comes the enemy. You know what the enemy, I believe the enemy's greatest tool, we overestimate his power because Christ disarmed him at the cross. So Christ took his power and authority at the cross. But the enemy's greatest weapon is fear. Because what happens with fear? Fear affects your health. It affects your mental health. Affects your body when we start to move in fear. And allow fear to overcome our faith. Fear neutralizes. This is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to neutralize and he wants to paralyze you. And to stop you moving forward into what God has promised you. That's the aim of the enemy. And he wants to put you in a place of permanent delay. Permanent delay. And you know, they start. This is what happens. They start saying things like, it would have been better if we went back to Egypt. Why did you bring us out here, Moses? It wouldn't have been better back here. They were slaves back in Egypt. This is what fear does. Fear, it speaks lies to us. Fear lies to us, and we can become nostalgic. And we can think, oh, it was better back then when it was never better back then. But this is what fear does. Fear lies to us. And fear creates all these things in our mind. And they start to say, when fear comes, when they're very afraid, they said, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us out here to die? Now, this is what was going to happen. When the enemy comes at you, when Satan comes at you to try to steal what God has promised you, and you hear him, he in the spirit, you hear the voice that I am going to destroy your life. I'm going to destroy your marriage. You thought you were free, but I'm come again and I'm going to destroy you. One of the things we have to do, though we experience the emotion of fear and anxiety and doubt, the reason the enemy uses fear, listen to this, not only to paralyze and to neutralize us, but the enemy wants us, out of the emotion of fear, to prophesy against our own lives. Because he knows the power and life and death is in the tongue. And you see this in Mark chapter 5. I've shown it many, many times. When Jesus says to the disciples, let us go over the other side. That's the promise of God. They've been given a promise. And then a storm comes and they become afraid. And they actually say, Peter actually says, do you not care? We are perishing. So when the storm came to Peter, when the fear came, he was prophesying over his life. Death instead of life. And Jesus rebuked him and says, where's your faith? So when you feel those emotions, you must be very careful not to speak words of death. When it comes, you must not say, this is no good. We're going to be broke forever. This is no good. I'm never going to be well. This is no good. Our marriage is never going to be fixed. When the enemy comes at you, one of the things we've got to do is make sure we do not speak out of fear. Because every word that comes out of fear is destructive. And then he wants you, the second thing that fear he wants you to do, he wants you to turn back and abort the things that God has promised you. He wants you to turn back. And it's really interesting in this passage, it's like, God led them here. This is God. God led them to what I would call a scary place. And God will lead you to scary places when you're walking with him. He'll lead you into places where naturally it's a scary place. But you know, they felt trapped. There was the Red Sea before them, impassable. Mountains on either side, and the enemy bearing down on them. But whenever you are walking with God, as best you can with Him, the trap is never for you. It's for the enemy. It's for the enemy. So here they are. They're in a place. Enemy's trying to bring them back under what they came out from. The enemy is saying to them, you're going to be destroyed, and they hear it. You're going to come back under that addiction. You're going to come back under that financial condition. You're going to come back under this. And Moses starts to pray. Moses starts to cry out to God. And God answers him absolutely nothing. He says, he makes this really good religious prayer. Moses says, he says to the people, do not be afraid, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. He will accomplish for you today all the things that he's promised. The Egyptians you see today, you shall see them no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and he will hold your peace. So he's crying out. And then he says to God, help. And the Lord says to Moses, why do you cry out to me? It seems to be a strange answer from God. Why do you cry out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward and lift up your rod. And the reason God says that is at the start of chapter 14, God had said, he said, speak to the children of Israel. You will camp before the Red Sea. In other words, he told them he was going to lead them to this place. And Pharaoh will close you in the wilderness. I'll harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I'll gain honor over Pharaoh and all his army and the Egyptians. They may know that I am the Lord. And he said to me, I'm going to do all this for his own glory. I will gain honor. So God says to them already, he says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lead you to this place where I am going to gain honor and glory. And he says, don't cry out for me. He says, go forward and lift up your rod. And one of the reasons God takes us into these places, what is the rod? The rod was what God had given Moses to exercise authority and power. And when he would lift up his rod, when they were still in bondage, he would lift up his rod and the Nile River would be turned into blood. When he lifted up his rod, the locusts would come. When he lifted up his rod, God's power would release judgment on Egypt. All the plagues came, all the power of God came when he lifted up his rod. And God is saying to Moses, I have given you all you need for this battle. And I am not going to do for you what I want you to do. And so he takes us into these places so we can actually discover what he's given us. What he's given us. And what has he given us? Jesus says, I've given you all authority. I've won back all authority. He says, anything you ask me in my name, I will do it. He says, in my name, you will trample down the enemy. And when we face obstacles like this, we have got to come into the place where we actually say, we know we see the enemy, but we know that we've been given a promise, the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we decree no weapon formed against us will prosper according to the promise of God. If you're facing a financial problem, he has promised to supply all sufficiency, that I have all things in all situations. 2 Corinthians 9:8. He wants us to use what we have been given, and we have been given the promises of God, and we have been given the name of Jesus, and when we're in trouble, he wants us to speak it. And so they speak it, and then he says, this is the promise. I told you you're going into the promised land. That's what I've told you. Use your authority and keep walking. He says, move forward. And it was only when they moved forward that God's power was released. And so God gives you a promise. The enemy comes to say, I'm going to destroy you. You're not going to get there. It's very important that we keep moving forward with the promise. God, guys, said before, God gave me a promise many, many years ago about nations. And it wasn't my invention. God spoke to me. He spoke to me. He said, I've made you a prophet to nations. And he showed me all these things that were going to happen in nations. And now we are starting to see what God has promised after many years. But the reason we're seeing it is because we kept moving forward. When people left the church, we kept moving forward. When we had no money, we kept moving forward. When people betrayed us, we kept moving forward. We kept moving forward, and God's power has made it happen. You have got to keep moving with your promise. You have to keep moving forward with your promise, because Satan wants to neutralize you. Satan wants to put you in delay. But God says, keep moving forward, keep believing, keep trusting. And as we move forward with God's promise, his power took off the wheels. His power drowned the enemies. His power dealt with our problems so that he gets the glory. He gets the glory. And that is so important. And I feel like God's saying to someone today, maybe God's given you a promise about your business. Keep moving forward. Maybe he's given you a promise about your family. You've believed it for a long time. Keep believing. Keep moving forward. Don't quit on God. He will deal with the problems. He will deal with the enemy. What the enemy is trying to do, he will deal with the enemy as long as you don't quit on God, as long as you keep moving. Faith has a forward motion. I've said it many times. It has a forward motion. We keep believing for God. Recently, I had a situation where these things that God has promised us, you know, these ministry in the nation, it costs money. And we praise God for the church. The church supports the ministry in the nation. But what God has shown me is that the ministry that he's given us, because we go to the poorer nations, it costs more than what a local church can support. It costs more of that. And recently, the enemy was coming at me and saying, I'm going to cripple your finances. You're not going to be able to accomplish what I've called you to do. I'm going to cripple you financially. And things started to happen financially, and we thought we were in a bit of a crisis. And that's the reason I called 21 Days of Prayer. I called people in here, and people will remember who were here. There weren't many here, but I called them. I said, we are going to start to declare no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We are going to start to declare the promises what God has made to us. We're going to declare there is no lack in him, that he is able to make all things abound to we can have all that we can. And we started to declare this, and we started to praise God. We started to declare his promise and saying, we are going to keep moving forward into what you've called us to do. Then we started to praise God for the provision that was coming. We started to praise him that he would be faithful before we even see it. And I want to tell you, church, after that happened, a great financial miracle happened. God destroyed all the power of lack. God destroyed all the power of debt. He took the wheels off what the enemy was trying to do, and he drowned debt. Give God praise. But you've got to keep moving forward. Got to keep moving forward. Got to keep declaring the word of God. And you know, there's a at the end of this situation, David Wilkinson preaches this song. I've said it many, many times. The end of this, Miriam takes out a tambourine. After God delivers them greatly, destroys Egypt, supernaturally takes the wheels off, makes the sea come over the Egyptians after the Israelites pass through. And by the way, the Israelites didn't even get their feet wet. They passed through on dry ground. That's our God. Completely delivered, enemy completely destroyed. I want to say to someone here today, your situation is a setup. God's led you there. It's a setup that you can see his power, that he can get glorified. Just trust him. Keep moving forward with your word. At the end of it, when God sees, and when Miriam sees what God has done, she takes out a tambourine and she says, she starts writing this song, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. Sing to the Lord. He has triumphed gloriously. And David Wilkinson has a message he preaches. It's called Right Song, Wrong Side. In other words, that's the right song to sing, but you sung it on the wrong side of the Red Sea. What God wants for us when we're under the pump, when we're being tacked, he wants us to sing before he does the miracle. And you see the power of this in 2 Chronicles. You see a man in a similar situation called Jehoshaphat. He's in a time where a great enemy came, and Bible commentators say it was the greatest army ever assembled, came against Jehoshaphat. And it said he set himself and feared. And then as he started to pray to God and say, we don't know what to do about this power. It's so great. Looks like we're going to be destroyed. The Spirit of the Lord came upon a prophet called Zechariah. And he came and said, do not be afraid or dismayed of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. And Jehoshaphat, as soon as he got the word from the prophet, as soon as he got his promise, he started to move with his promise, and he sent his army out into battle, praising the Lord for the promise of what God had promised to do. All he had was a promise. And this army's coming out, and he starts praising God that God was going to enter this battle. God would not let him be destroyed. God would deal with his enemy. And it says, as they went out praising God, God set ambushes for the enemy. He set ambushes for the enemy. And Isaiah 54 is the same principle. You know, there's a woman who's got a problem. It's called barrenness. And God gives her a promise and says, the barren woman is about to become more productive than the fertile woman. And he says, sing, O barren woman. Sing, O barren woman, before I perform my promise. So what God wants is that when we come into these places where, and the enemy does, the enemy comes to, he doesn't want to free you. He doesn't want to see you get to where God's taking you. He doesn't want to see you walk in to see all the promises of God manifest. He doesn't want to see God use you as God's promised he would use you. And he wants to say, I'm going to come and bring you back under sickness. I'm going to come and bring you back under financial hardship. I'm going to come and bring you back under those marriage difficulties. I'm going to come and bring you back under bondage. I'm going to steal your peace. When that happens and we hear what the enemy is doing, we hear it in the spirit. And as I said, we hear the footprints in the spirit. We must, even though we can experience fear, we must keep this quiet, not prophesy against our mouth. We must speak life and not death over ourselves. We must not do that. And then we must use what God has given us. He has given us. Satan has been defeated. He has given us weapons. He has given us promises. And when we declare what God has promised by faith, when we speak in faith that I shall not go under, I shall go over this problem, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you've promised me these things, God, and I'm going to keep walking into these things. I'm going to keep moving with you. I'm not stopping because you will fight my battle for me. When we do that, as they actually move forward, God's power dealt with the problem and Pharaoh. And I just believe that today, I don't want to preach long. I believe today, I just experienced myself through this financial breakthrough we got, that God just says today, and I want us to stand on our feet. I just want to stand. He's led you here. The situation you're facing, he's led you here to show you how much power is in his name. What he's already given you. He's led you here so you can discover what you've already got in Christ. Led you to discover who is really with you. And he's given you promises. And he says the devil's coming to try to steal those promises, to neutralize you, to steal your peace. And he says, I want you to lift out your staff today. and declare those weapons shall not prosper against me, that I'm going to keep moving forward, believing God. It's not going to stop me. Whatever happens, it's not going to stop me. I'm going to keep moving forward with God and lift up your hands and praise Him. And I want to tell you, as you praise Him, debt is going to drown. As you praise Him, sickness is going to drown. As you praise Him, whatever they're doing in your life, the devil, it's going to drown. God's going to take wheels off. God's going to disable the enemy today. Lift up, say, God, I will not be stopped. I will not stop trusting you. I will not stop believing in your goodness. I will not stop moving forward to trust you. I'm not going back to those things. I'm not going back under those things. It may not feel good at the moment. It may be a scary place, but I'm moving forward with you. I want to tell you, the power of God is here. The power of God is here today. It was here Friday night, and He wants to destroy. He wants to drown the enemy tonight. I declare today, the Egyptians you see today, the debt you see today, you shall see no more. I decree the sickness you see today, you shall see it no more. I decree the bondages you see today, you shall see them no more. The marriage problems you see today, you shall see them no more. They shall be drowned in the faithful praise of God's people. Lift your hands up. I want you to pray that song, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." Sing that, church. This is a prophetic word today. God wants to deal with stuff. God wants to destroy things that are coming against you. He wants to, it's all by faith. He just wants us to say, I'm moving forward. I'm not stopping. I'm not going to be neutralized. It may not be working, but I'm not going to stop going to church. I'm not going to stop reading my Bible. I'm moving forward. I'm not going to stop believing those promises. I'm not going to stop serving you, God. I'm moving forward with you. And as you do that, you believe He's going to deal with issues today. This is a word God's given me for this day. Lift up your hands. Play that song, "No weapon formed against me will prosper." You've got it up there. Believe it. Believe it. God is here. He is here. He is here. He is here. No weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. Hallelujah. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Hallelujah. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see the victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah.
cut the enemy man free, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Hallelujah.
Say to God in your heart today, say to Him, I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward with my family. I'm moving forward in my ministry. I'm moving forward with the church. I'm moving forward with your Bible. I'm moving forward with your people. I will never turn back. I'll never turn back. I move forward following Jesus, and I'm not turning back. I'm telling you what, if you're saying that to Him today, He's entering your battle. He just keep moving forward. Say to the devil, I'm never going to be stopped. Never going to be stopped. Never going to be stopped. Oh, but I saw. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Will not prevail against Jesus. Do you know why God's led you to this hard place? I'm saying to somebody here, yeah, you've been tested. God led you into this difficulty. It's so that He is going to demonstrate His glory, and He's going to get honor out of it. He is going to get honor out of it. I tell you, I've been praising God all week because He did a financial miracle for me. Absolute miracle. As we trusted Him, as we praised Him, as we said, we're going to keep moving. We're going to keep moving in the face of whatever. We're not going to stop. I know you called me to it. I know what you said. I'm not stopping. I see the obstacles. I see the problem, but I'm not stopping. I trust you. You're going to deal with the problem. You're going to deal with it. It's all yours. This battle belongs to you. He dealt with it. He came in and He destroyed it. He drowned the debt. Hallelujah. Give Him praise. These aren't just stories. This is the God we serve. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you're moving in this place. I thank you these aren't Bible stories of old. These are principles. This is life. This is who you are. This is what you want from your people. This is how you operate. These are your ways. And we thank you that your ways, they're unchanging, that you're unchanging. As we simply say and use what you've given us, as we simply declare, no weapon formed will prosper. All your promises. And we keep moving, keep praising, not quitting. You fight our battles, Lord. You fight our battles. And we give you all praise here. We give, just give the Lord a praise for not the battle that he has fought. I want you to finish today and play us a song. We're going to praise him for the battle he's about to fight. Like Jehoshaphat, the battle he's about, the enemy he's about to drown for you. The marriage problem, the family problem, the debt problem, the disease. He's going to drown it. He's going to drown in the sea of your praise. Let's praise him as we finish. He's a wonderful Jesus.